Once again, this week, the liturgy emphasizes the critical connection between God's mercy, His justice, and His salvation. We've seen that happening over the past couple of weeks or so. They're all part of the same whole, and they just can't be separated, no matter how hard some people try to do that sometimes. In truth, none of them make sense without the other. They just don't, because they're part of the same whole. But strong faith is required to unlock this truth, for us to be able to see it. And strong faith also is required to grant access to these wonderful gifts of God. And one thing that's more unique about this week is we're reminded that these gifts are available to all peoples. Not just the Jewish people, not just us Christians, to all peoples. Every human being is welcome in the body of Christ, as God thirsts for all human souls to enjoy salvation. All human souls. And this salvation undoubtedly does come from the Jews and through Christ, but it's available to all. Therefore, God seeks to reveal this amazing truth to all peoples, and He chooses to use us Christians as the vehicles, the vessels, we might say, to do this. We are a Eucharistic people, right? And so gathering in the peoples to build up the body of Christ, that's what He calls us to. That's why He made us Christians. But of course, we must first welcome the Lord ourselves, or this can never happen. And the psalmist sings about this in today's responsorial. O God, let Your face shine upon us. So may Your way be known upon earth, among all nations, Your salvation. How beautiful. How wonderful. Think about His face shining upon you. Not frowning and wagging a finger at you. You sinner. His face shining upon you. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. That's the Father. He's smiling down upon you right now. And this is the only way to know Him, to truly know Him, who He is, and what He's all about, as He calls us closer to Him. It's the only way to truly know Him, and it's the only way to know true reality as well, who you are, why you exist, why this world exists. What does life mean? That the Lord's revealing this all to us if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Note that this revelation and salvation only comes through the Lord. That's so key. You can't find it yourself. It's not like there's some secret nook up in the Bridgers and there's like a scroll in there, and if you just find it, you know, all the truths of life are going to be revealed. No, you're not going to find it, and you can't do it yourself. It's a gift for Him. He reveals it to us. But if this is true, and it is, then what on earth is going on in today's gospel passage? It seems a little bit crazy. At first blush, Jesus seems to completely contradict what we're reflecting on here. Most of what we just discussed. In His somewhat famous encounter with the Canaanite woman, it doesn't seem like His face or the Father's face are shining upon her at all, does it? Nor does it seem like His mercy, justice, and salvation are available to her. Because she's a Canaanite. She's a Gentile, not a Jew. And Jesus even seems to be rude to her in one sense. So again, what is going on here? Well, the first thing we have to remember is that God doesn't make mistakes. It's not like Jesus is just having a bad day. You know, He woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Jesus doesn't have bad days. We have to struggle sometimes to realize what He's communicating to us, but He doesn't have bad days. He's pointing out that faith is inherently required to help this woman and all of us, actually. Faith is a prerequisite. He doesn't heal by magic, like secret pixie dust or a magic wand, like a wizard or something. He heals by grace. He heals by amazing grace. And grace is welcomed into hearts and souls through faith. True faith. It's the key that unlocks the door to allow Him to come in. It's so important to us. Perhaps then part of what He is doing here is making it clear what true faith really looks like. And the woman persists in all humility. in all humility through this discussion, she doesn't give up, and her true faith wins the day. She truly does have faith in him. So, two other notes I'd like to make. We could talk about this passage for a long time. It's one of the hardest ones to actually preach on. But first, there may well have been much more discussion that just isn't recorded in the Gospels. They're famously concise. And Matthew chose to share these particular details. There probably were other details, right? If you think about all that was going on at this moment. But we're not privy to them. Who knows? Jesus and the Canaanite woman may have been joking, and this may have been kind of part of a joke, and we don't have that context. She could have been upset with him. She could have been a little nasty with him, and this could have been his response. We don't know. We don't know. Furthermore, there could have been other recent episodes where people without true faith had come to Jesus as if he was some kind of magic healer. But again, we don't know because we don't have those details. The second thing to note is that in addition to showing his disciples the kind of faith that is required of them individually, but also of the people that they're going to minister to if they're going to be healed through him, Jesus also wants to stress that God's gifts aren't just for the Jews. Yes, they do come from the Jews, right? But they're not just for the Jewish people. And so he makes this sharp distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles very clear to drive home that point. Now, as we gaze at today's second reading, St. Paul is also hard at work emphasizing the reality that God desires to share salvation to all people. It's not just for a particular people. For God delivered all to disobedience, Paul says, that he might have mercy upon all. You might think, wait a minute, what? What is he talking about? God delivers us into disobedience? Is he messing with us here? He like puts us into disobedience just so he can do something? No, that's not what Paul's saying. He allows us to use our free will, which he gives us the great dignity of us as human beings, as we have free will. And then when we use it to sin, he doesn't respond with vengeance. No, he responds with mercy. That's what Paul's getting at. He seeks to win us back with his mercy when we stray, when we choose things that are not of him. And again, this is mercy for all people. It's available to all people. He used the obstinate disobedience of the Jews in Paul's day, in that particular historical milieu, as an opportunity to explicitly and formally reach out to other peoples. It's not like he didn't reach out to other peoples before, but through Paul, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. In a very particular way, he chose to reach out to others. And Paul, if you read his writings, in all the towns he goes to, he always preaches to the Jews first. He goes to the synagogues. And then when they almost always reject him, he says, all right, he basically shakes the dust off his sandals and says, I'm going to the Gentiles. And then they conspire and they try to kill him and all this kind of stuff. We won't get into those details, but that's Paul's approach. And he ends up preaching to the known world at that time in such a beautiful way. But at the same time, God never gave up on the Jews, just like he never gives up on us Christian sinners. The gifts and the call of God are irrevocable, Paul proclaims. And thanks be to God that they are. God thankfully doesn't take them back when we stray, when we choose things that are not of him, when we disobey him. Instead, he relentlessly and mercifully pursues us. You may have heard of the Hound of Heaven. Jesus is the Hound of Heaven. It's a beautiful poem. I think it was written in 1898 by Francis Thompson. If you Google that, it's readily available publicly online. It's a little bit on the long end of a poem, but it's really beautiful. I encourage you to prayerfully check it out. And if you think of the Hound of Heaven, this metaphor that's being used, what does a hound do? Hound never leaves you alone, right? The hound is always kind of hounding you, right? That's where we get that word. Jesus always gently but consistently reaching out to us when we veer away from him. If only, brothers and sisters, we would relentlessly pursue him in return. Imagine this, what this world would look like if every moment of every day we relentlessly pursued him. We don't. Sometimes we do, but not always. Imagine what it would be like. Then we would flourish in Him and, of course, be sent out to gather in the peoples, to build up that body of Christ, to become ever more the Eucharistic people we're created to be, instead of sometimes participating in the terrible divisiveness of today, or at least turning a blind eye to it, ignoring it. Observe what is right. Do what is just. God the Father says in today's first reading through the lips of the prophet Isaiah, "For my salvation is about to come, my justice about to be revealed." Well, guess what? Isaiah was writing 600-700 years before Christ. His justice and salvation have come now. He has come, as a matter of fact. Jesus, justice itself. But we can't receive salvation in full until we've lived justice to the full. We can't receive salvation to the full unless we've lived justice to the full. And if you want to know what justice looks like, it's right there. The crucifix. Total self-emptying love. That's how Jesus balanced the scales of justice, so to speak, for us. Not because He owed us anything. We owed Him everything, but we couldn't pay it. And so He did that for us. That's what justice looks like, brothers and sisters. When God says, do what is right, observe what is just, that's what He's talking about. That's what He's pointing at. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, the Lord continues, but qualifies it for all peoples, for those who keep the Sabbath free from profanation and hold to His covenant. That's key. It's so key. Remember, salvation is offered to all. Every single person in every age. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. None of that matters. Salvation is offered to all, but only those who are open to God can possibly receive it. Many people who are closed off to God don't even want His salvation. They don't even want what He's offering because they don't understand it. They don't realize how beautiful and wonderful and, yes, indeed, necessary it is. Remember, as we discussed earlier, this isn't going to magically happen, the salvation. A little pixie dust here, and poof, everything's better. Also recall that God's call and gifts are irrevocable. Irrevocable. He's calling you to greater holiness at each moment of every day, and also calling you to go out. To go out and share the good news, to share the beauty and wonder of His love. And He never ceases to offer you the gifts that are required that you need to make this happen. He's always giving you everything you need, never leaving you hanging. Okay, friends, let's conclude now with the final prayer that you'll hear at the end of Mass tonight, which concisely pulls all this together in such a very beautiful way. Made partakers of Christ. Of Christ. Note that. Made partakers of Christ through these sacraments, pulling us into the Paschal mystery through the Holy Eucharist, confession, and so on. Made partakers of Christ through these sacraments, we humbly implore Your mercy, Lord. There's His mercy again. That conformed to His image on earth, to His image. Not my image, to His image. That conformed to His image on earth, we may merit also to be His co-heirs in heaven.